As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God. When the voice of joy and praise were the multitude that kept the pilgrim's feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all along, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's good to be here and just to maybe spend 20 minutes or so with God's Word open and thinking about what he has to say to us today. We finished our series in Colossians, looking at that letter to the church in Colossae. And before that, we were looking at the prophet Jonah, and before that, we were looking at the Beatitudes. So we're now going to start a new six-part series in the book of Psalms. We've titled it Psalms for Winter, and after this series there'll be a short series in the run-up to Easter. But for now we'll be reflecting on Psalms number 42 to 49, and these Psalms are all authored by the same people, the same person, the sons of Korah. So that's what we're starting this week. We'll start with Psalm 42, which Pat has just read for us. So why Psalms for winter? Psalms are ancient songs of worship, pain and joy, and lived experience written in the Old Testament before Jesus was born. People can struggle to understand or connect with the Psalms. We are more comfortable with one of the Gospels, perhaps, or a letter to the New Testament churches. We know how to read the New Testament, and the concepts about God are familiar to us. But the Psalms reveal and amplify the aspects of God, aspects of his character, like nowhere else in the Bible. The songs or poems recorded in the Psalms express a deep relationship with God. So as winter is around us, with long nights and fireside chats, and a growing hope of spring, we'll take time to simply reflect on these songs and poems, and through them to deepen our desire for and our relationship with our Savior Jesus. So before I start, I want to set some homework. If you want to do this homework, it's not compulsory, but if you read a little bit of background about the sons of Korah, the fourth book of the Bible, Numbers, the one in my book where the pages stuck together, are about Korah. And just in summary, I suppose, Korah was one of the Levites. He led a rebellion against Moses during the Exodus, and 250 leaders of Israel stood against Moses and God, and God caused the ground to split open and swallow them up in judgment. Them and their households were killed, and their possessions were gone. So the family background of the people who wrote these psalms was one of rebellion against God and severe judgment. Yet the songs of Korah, expressing deep longing and relationship with God, are included in the Spirit-inspired Word of God, the Bible, for all generations to read. So the question I want you to reflect on as you read Numbers chapter 16 is, what does the sons of Korah, what does their family background and the fact that their songs are included in the Bible, what does that say about God's character? What does that say about God's character, the fact that the sons of Korah, with all their family background, are included in the Bible? So that's perhaps something to think about through the week. So let's look at this first psalm of the series, number 42. And I suppose to get into it, to reflect on it, I thought we could phrase or look at it from three questions. Firstly, what state is the author in? As we read this psalm, what state is he in spiritually in his relationship with God? Secondly, how does this state that the psalmist is in resonate with me? How can I apply that to my life? And thirdly, how does this psalm affect my desire for Jesus? So what state is the author in? How does the state resonate with me? How can I apply that to myself? And how does this psalm affect my desire for Jesus? So if we look at the first question, first of all, what kind of state is the author in? If we look at the words of this song, they are really marked by turmoil and longing. There's a tension in the words. So verse 1, it opens with an image of an animal's audible, desperate grunts and gasps for survival. And Korah's sons tell God that this is what they feel like without God. They long, they pant for God, as an animal would pant for water. The author longs, verse 2, to meet with God like he used to. In verses 4 and 9, but now he is tearful, mourning, constantly taunted by people to give up his relationship with God. People say to me all day long, where is your God? In verses 5 and 11, the author is downcast, disturbed. There is turmoil and longing in the soul of this author, in this song. There's also a tension in this song between despair and with hope. The soul thirsting and longing drives the author to despair. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. Verse 5, I'm downcast and disturbed. Verse 9, he is feeling abandoned by God, questioning, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed? This despair is countered in verse 5 with a glimpse of hope. I will yet praise him, my Saviour. But then, straight away, on the following line, we are plunged back into despair. My soul is downcast. There is a tension here between despair and hope. And this tension is even reflected in the tenses of this psalm. They're all over the place. They're a mess. Verse 1, 6, 7, and 9 are directed towards God. I long for you. Why have you forgotten me? He's talking to God. And yet, interspersed with them, verses 5 and 11 are the psalmist speaking to himself. Why are you in despair, my soul? There is hope. And the rest of the statements are all about his current state. I thirst, I remember, I pray, I suffer. What can we say is the spiritual state of the author in this psalm? He is in turmoil, feeling distant, separated from God. He is in despair, tormented through mortal agony by his feelings that God has forgotten about him. Yes, there are glimmers of hope here in verses 5 and 11, but we get the feeling that he is being tossed around underwater, rising for a breath of hope and immediately being pulled back down into despair. Perhaps we should have titled this series Psalms From Winter, as this seems to be the inner state of the author of this psalm. So that is the spiritual state of the author. How then do we read this psalm? How do we apply it to ourselves? How does this psalm resonate with me? At this point, I want to stop and talk a little bit about how we are going to approach the psalms. I have a tendency to read the psalms by scanning over a long psalm and looking for the correct or important nuggets, missing over difficult bits that just don't seem right somehow. And for this psalm, we could just focus on verses 5 and 11. Why downcast? Put your hope in God, my Saviour and my God. That sounds like it's straight out of one of Paul's letters. That's encouraging. I know what to do with that. But this pick and mix approach to the psalms means that we miss the heart of the song. And they lose most of the meaning and effect if we do this. The psalms are not like the New Testament. They're not systematic or logical arguments at times. They are a record, a journal of songs of the bitter, joyful, and harsh realities of spiritual experience. We have the privilege of reading it as if we were looking over the shoulder of the author, pouring out their deepest feelings and spiritual longings. We shouldn't jump straight in and try and resolve all these wrongs, find where it points to Christ, and move on. We should stop, feel the emotion and spiritual reality of their relationship with God at this point in their journey. Let it resonate with our own hearts without the compulsion to resolve or set right before we understand. The image that comes to mind with this is a tuning fork. I know most of these things are on apps these days, but I don't know if people still have them, tuning forks. So a tuning fork is a precisely formed forked piece of metal that, when struck against something and held against the surface, it emits a particular note at a pitch-perfect frequency. They're used to tune instruments, which can go out of tune and need to be brought back to the correct frequency. And in the same way, each psalm is a particular pitch that, when read, resonates with the spiritual experience, deepest longings, and emotions we may at times go through in our relationship with God. These ancient songs give voice to an inexpressible spiritual reality in us. But more than just sounding familiar, these resonances, the resonance that these songs have with our spiritual experience of turmoil and despair, have the effect of tuning our hearts. And this psalm does give us direction with what to do with our despair. As the psalmist pleads with himself, so the word of God pleads with us. Why? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Despite the turmoil you are experiencing, put your hope in God. Look forward to a future time when you will praise him as your Saviour and your God. We sing that hymn, don't we? Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. May that be our heart's desire as we read these psalms, that our hearts be tuned to resonate with the same frequency of God's own heart. Another image that we might find helpful in applying this psalm to our lives is that of the waterfall. In this song or poem, it uses the image to draw out a spiritual reality. He is far away from Jerusalem and the sanctuary of God's presence, to the north of Israel on Mount Hermon. And he recalls seeing a waterfall. And verse 7 says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. The sensory experience of a deafening cascade of water, resounding drumming of water into a deep pool, the force of water churning and carving a deeper and deeper void in the rock. This resonates or calls to something inside us. The seemingly relentless barrage of life's turmoil and oppression, the feeling of being cast down, waves breaking over you, thrown around in roaring waters, barely able to lift your head out of the water to gasp for breath, the feeling that your circumstances are carving out a void in your deepest spirits and longing to be satisfied. Despair, turmoil, being thrown around by life, like water over a waterfall. This image gives voice to your reality, and it directs you to recognize a deeper and deeper longing that can only be satisfied in the presence of the living God. Deep calls to deep. And thirdly, as we reflect on this psalm, I just want to ask the question, how does this psalm affect my desire for Jesus? We can't leave it here. These psalms are more than just ancient heartfelt songs. They are part of God's word, and they resonate with the same frequency as other parts of God's word. And most of all, they call to the deepest image, the clearest representation of God's character, his son Jesus. If this psalm resonates with you, how does it direct you to Jesus? How does it affect your desire for him? Well, there's perhaps two ways that I can think of. It directs us to Jesus' example. In thinking about my turmoil and despair as part of my lived experience, we can look at the examples of Jesus' life. He experienced the same heart-wrenching, sleep-depriving oppression within his spirit as we see in this psalm. How did he cope? Well, Jesus spent whole nights on his own in prayer to his Father. You can imagine him, like Jacob through the night, wrestling with God's will, fighting his own fears. Can this cup not be taken from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Despite anguish greater than any person has had to endure, he got through those nights and learned obedience to God. He is our example of turmoil in despair and despair. He is our example in turmoil and despair. And please God that I might know and follow his example. Secondly, as we think, the second way I think this psalm affects our desire for Jesus in thinking about is in thinking about separation. The sons of Korah despaired because of the separation from God. Where can I go to meet with God, verse 2. They remembered him from far away in verse 6, and from long ago in verse 4. And they were taunted, where is your God? Verse 3, he is not here, he is not with you. But Jesus was separated from God. He prayed in anguish on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where is my God? Why have you forgotten me? The despair of this psalm is ultimately found in Jesus. He was separated from the Father. Why? It was on your behalf, instead of you, to bring you to God permanently. This surely resonates the loudest and clearest with the songs of Korah's cry of despair in verse 9. Why have you forgotten me? God has not forgotten you. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Our Father God, we all experience despair, turmoil, and difficulties to some degree in our lives. But we pray now that a fire would be kindled in our hearts, a longing for relationship with you, to wrestle with you, God, in prayer, when our lives feel like we have been thrown down a waterfall. We pray you would tune our hearts through the circumstances of our lives, that we may be tuned to resonate with your heart. May our soul's longing and hope be in Jesus, who experienced the same, who carried our burdens, who was forgotten and judged and punished on our behalf on the cross, so that we might have relationship with the living God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.